Running down dogma with his karma. This is the Drew Marshall Show.
Tim, I'm you're back in my good books.
How did I do that?
You've been playing Eagles songs almost all day.
That's good.
You know, I've been running down the road trying to loosen my load, so I've been eating more bran.
Nice. I've been looking for girls in Ford trucks.
Four that want to owe me, two that want to stole me, one says she's a friend of mine.
Got to get my teeth in. You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca, and we're also live right here in Southern Ontario on Joy 1250. Tim the Tool here in the house.
Yes.
As well as Alex the intern and Megs the intern. The other two interns have left. Yes, it takes four interns to now do this show. What a joke. Ladies and gentlemen, evangelicals have been debating, and they're all kind of fired up recently about whether the hijab-wearing Wheaton College professor, Dr. Larissa Hawkins, and I hope I'm saying her name right, broke the evangelical rules. She did it. She did. She broke the rules by saying that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. And this debacle makes us wonder who is actually included in the evangelical Christian tent these days, and who decides who gets kicked out, by golly. This dispute is pitting Jesus lover against Christian at the alma mater of evangelist Billy Graham. I was going to say Billy be rolling in his grave, but he's still alive.
Yes, thank you for keeping us
up to date with that information. Some alumni suggested that this issue might be writing on the wall for the conservative Wheaton College. Is it maybe the most conservative Christian college? It's not the most. No, because there's Bob Jones and there's...
Well, who's the guy who just packed heat at the pulpit you were just talking
Jerry
about?
Jerry Falwell?
Yeah, come on. Like, that's a little more conservative.
Yeah. Well, breaking news, Wheaton College has just unanimously recommended that the administration withdraw their efforts to get rid of Dr. Larissa Hawkins. I'm saying your name right. About a month ago, Dr. Hawkins expressed on her Facebook page solidarity with Muslims by stating that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. Holy shiite! Muslim ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get to the bottom of this issue. Dr. Hawkins, thank you for joining us on the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. My name is Larissa. Sounds like Alicia.
See? So we listened to a clip earlier of somebody saying Larissa. My intern...
Well, they were wrong.
She threw me under the bus. My intern just threw me under the bus.
It's going, Megs.
Larissa, do you feel...
Never blame the intern. Meg is great. She called me, so... Leave Meg alone.
Okay, all right, fine. I just got my butt handed to me.
You thought this was your show, right?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I like this girl.
I heard your banter, so...
Stop it.
I'm just trying to play along.
All right, well, you're doing well. Hey, listen, how are your feelings? Are you okay?
I'm hanging in there.
Do you want me to, I'm a big dude. I'll mess with people, man.
Well,
you want me to go get someone? I'll get them.
In the Christian tradition, we talk about... Scripture in Hebrews, a great cloud of witnesses, and I have been telling friends and family and anyone who asked that, you know, one thing, it's not just like you learn who your friends are when hard things happen. I know who my friends are. What you learn is that you have more than the friends that you know. You have friends that you don't know, how close they stick. Mm-hmm. And I call that my cloud of witnesses. And that's a lot of people that I know and people that I don't know. There are people who wake up every morning and go on Facebook and go on the internet and read the newspaper to see what's happening relative to my situation. And that's very humbling. And so I have a great cloud of witnesses of people I know and that I don't know.
How do I say this? Let me just share this briefly with you because I bore our listeners by repeating the same stories all the time. It's like kids listening to their parents tell the same joke all the time.
Sure.
So 5-6 years ago, I sort of came out and said, I'm no longer a certaintist. I'm not an evangelical certaintist. I'm now a red-letter agnostic theist. And so I've been processing a doctrine of doubt for the last number of years. When I came out, my cell phone went off. I came out on air. I was talking to Ravi Zacharias, and I came out on air and said, I'm no longer convinced that there's a God. And people then right away labeled me an atheist, and cell phone went off, and everything, you know. And people sent me emails, and there's some pretty hurtful things that came through. But they're from people I don't know, and I don't really care. But when someone you know, someone you've let into your life, then says something to you like, you know, I've heard about what you're going through, and I've come up with two decisions, two thoughts on this. You're either really stupid or really arrogant.
Mm.
Then I don't know. That impacts you. It shouldn't, because you realize that what they're saying is just dopey. But it does. Yeah. It bugged me. It still bugs me, right? I feel it today. There's a visceral thing happening. Did you have anybody cut you to the quick?
Not personally. Not people that I know. I'm sure plenty of people I know have been silent, as opposed to
that's worse.
Confront me. But I don't know who they are because I don't have time to figure out, like, who's called me and who hasn't, or who's Facebook messaged me and who hasn't, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't care. I don't want to say that I don't care. For instance, a former student wrote a piece in the Washington Post that I know was defending the institution from what I hear. I didn't read it. I don't actually have time to. I'm very thankful that people are covering the story, but given that I'm in the fight of my life, I literally don't have enough hours or minutes in the day, even if I were to stay up 24 hours, to read all of the press around this. And it's not healthy. And so I don't know. I didn't read that student's article, not because I'm not former student's article, not because I'm not supportive of him. I think he's very bright. I taught him in class, but I also think it would be too hurtful. And so I am not an escapist. I'm quite pragmatist, and I understand that there are people who I love and know who may think I'm not a Christian. But I think for me, as a believer, that other people's opinion of whether I'm a Christian or not is of less consequence than my own commitment to my spiritual journey. And my spiritual journey points to Jesus. Other people's spiritual journey points somewhere else. And I have very good atheist friends. Like, one of my closest friends in my book club is an atheist. And we get each other intuitively. And I think that I like to say to my students who some decide at Wheaton that they're not Christian. Some decide that they're agnostic, like you. And I say to all of my students, but stay on a spiritual journey. We're all on a spiritual journey. And that doesn't mean one has to believe in God, but I think that when it comes down to it, we're all on a spiritual journey, right? And being committed to that journey is really important. So whether someone thinks I'm like them is not the point.
Yeah. Well, but no, hold on. The bigger point is that you're at this huge evangelical, you're a professor there, right? So you got to toe the party line. Otherwise, go teach somewhere else. And isn't their party line, hey, no, the Christian God and the Muslim God are not the same? Isn't it just to boil down to that?
No, that's not their party line. There is no stated position on that.
Huh.
And so what's befuddling about all of this is that our statement of faith, if you Google it, our statement of faith is much more like a creed. You know, it sounds like you were once part of a broader Christian tradition, and it reads like a creed. It reads like an affirmation of what the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church have affirmed for centuries, which are some essentials of what people term Orthodox Christianity, small o. I think that what is being, again, what's befuddling, I'll say, is that upon reading my Facebook post, the provost at first said in an email to a colleague of mine that my statements were innocuous, and then a few days later decided to charge me with, what I call apostasy, and then also to place me on administrative leave. And so that's the puzzling part, is like, what changed in those days, and why all of a sudden is the institution reacting to this issue in the way that they have? Because it's the same God statement. In fact, in 2007, Wheaton College signed a statement that was featured in an ad in the New York Times. It was a kind of ecumenical statement of Muslims, Christians, and Jews affirming that the God of Abraham is the God that we worship. And so there's no denying the fact that Muslims, Christians, and Jews are of the same Abrahamic family tree. Mm-hmm. And so Wheaton has affirmed that in the past. And then we've had speakers on campus, prominent theologians, talking about this position, and I have colleagues who affirm this position, but I'm being singled out for some reason.
Do you think it's because you're a young female?
It I don't know. You have to ask the institution. It could be any number of things, right?
Mm-hmm. Are you a troublemaker? Because I get accused of being a troublemaker just for the sake of being a troublemaker. But whenever I cause trouble, it's because I want to pull the curtain back and see what the real Wizard of Oz looks like.
I like that metaphor. I don't want to impute intentions to Wheaton back to what you just asked me. But in terms of, is LaRisha Hawkins a troublemaker? I think it's a professor's job to be a troublemaker.
Yeah.
In the sense that the academy, and especially the liberal arts, I heard your intro, and I want to correct one misconception. Wheaton College is an amazing academic institution.
It is.
Evangelicalism has a lot of politics that go along with it that may muddy the water in terms of people's ability to know and understand that Wheaton is ranked in the top 10 of all teaching liberal arts colleges in the country, like
wow.
in the U.S., with like Swarthmore, with McAllister College, with Carleton College, which is number one. We're number 8. I have amazing students. I have
We're
brilliant
number
colleagues.
8. We're number and, 8.
It's like Canada.
We're number 8. Sorry.
Oh, stop it. But the truth of the matter is, now I'm able to lose my train of thought. Wheaton's a great school. Wheaton's a great school.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed teaching there. Oh, again, troublemaker.
Yes.
That this is like students in my class who try to make me get off topic. That's what you were doing.
I was gifted at that, yes. Gifted student.
But the idea is actually that in the liberal arts, we're committed to, you know, the word liberal is from the Latin root, libere, and what it means is freedom. Freedom of thought. Library, you know, freedom of thought, right? And that's what the liberal arts are committed to. And my job is to, in the evangelical context, expose students to ideas that may create tension with their reality, cognitive dissonance between what they have known and what they know and even think to be true about the world or about themselves or about religion or about faith. And so it's my job in that sense to be a troublemaker or a rabble rouser in the classroom. Hmm. What I can say is my style is not to come in and like just say provocative things and push students'
no.
buttons. Actually, I prefer conversation. I prefer dialogue. I learn as much from my students grappling with those ideas as I do from my colleagues grappling with ideas, right? And so I see the classroom as a space that wherein we learn together. And it's not me, I've never considered myself the sage on the stage who comes in and deconstructs everything that people believe. Challenge, yes, it's not my job. I don't have an agenda. I'm not moving my students towards any particular kind of political position, but really to bring alive the ideas and the concepts in ways that are, yes, experiential and move us beyond, you know, sitting on our butts in a classroom
mm-hmm.
to putting feet in a Christian context to our faith. And what does it mean to have Christian ideals or Christian principles or ethical principles or moral principles, again, for my students who have no faith or have lost faith? What does it mean to concretize those into a lived politics?
Mm-hmm.
And that lived politics, I presume, at Wheaton is often informed by, you know, faith commitments. But again, for anyone, the question is, why are we content? And your country has done a good job with this, to allow fellow humans to wallow in crisis and in war. In Syria and in other parts of the world, Burundi, Central African Republic, the places that no one sees and thinks about, oh, except for the Pope, right? Because he went to Central African Republic. There are people who embody their solidarity, and that's what I'm teaching my students, to be like the Pope and to go to the least forgotten place in the world, Burundi and Central African Republic, two of the poorest countries in the world. That's what I want my students to do, and if that makes me a troublemaker and a rabble-rouser, then I will proudly wear that mantle.
Okay. LaRisha, I have a few questions for you. Do you mind if I ask you some more questions? Do you mind?
Sure.
Yeah.
Are you saying I talk too much?
No! No! No,
that was a long answer.
It was a really long answer.
Are you a professor?
Are you a professor?
Shut up. Yes. This is the most irreverent interview I've ever had. So
yes.
It's kind of fun, so
yes,
ask
good.
Away.
Okay. Do you think all of this is...
I thought you guys were going to be really boring.
Stop! I'm trying to ask a question. Do you think that this stuff has gone gong show because we're post-9/11? Because we're living in the Muslim Trump era? Mm-hmm.
Again, I like the gong show reference. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm kind of too young for the gong show, but I do think that the political context that we're in matters. And I don't just mean domestically. I mean internationally.
Yeah, sure, sure. Okay, I had a guy.
Maybe it takes a different tack domestically.
Yeah. I had someone post on the Facebook, my Facebook page here. The God of the Quran, you know where this is going to go. The God of the Quran wants to slaughter Christians and ultimately destroy Christianity. To say that Christians worship the same God is insulting. And then he and somebody else went back and forth with each other, 15 replies. And then another person says, there's only one God, many instructional books written by opinionated men. You know, usual kind of points made in these conversations. Until someone is in your life that you actually care about, you find out that they're gay. Prior to that, it's easier to be homophobic. Then when you love somebody and they turn out to be gay, it's your kid or somebody you care, I don't know, whatever, you all of a sudden you go, whoa, hold on a second. It's a similar kind of thing, at least in my world, and I'm just talking as an ignorant, you know, white male, heterosexual, middle-aged North American putz. It's the same thing as far as Muslims are concerned, because until you know one, meet one, love one, care about one, in your family one, then all of a sudden when someone says the God of the Quran wants to slaughter Christians and ultimately destroy Christianity, well, then you're forced to look at this person and say, really? My nephew wants to kill me because I'm a Christian? Or are you just saying the Quran actually says that? So... Dr. Hawkins, we don't have the time as North Americans to kind of delve into the theological aspects of the Bible, let alone another religious book, the Quran. And then comparison? Come on, we don't have time for this stuff, so we got to rely on the talking heads to fill us in on this. And unfortunately, the louder talking heads are winning, right? So we're all listening to Trump. Well, not we, but... You know, there's a lot of folks just hearing Trumpism going on, which is similar to racism.
Same thing.
And thank you for whispering into the mic, Tim. And so I don't know if there's a question in all of this to you, except, hold on. Let me just think this through for a second. Just because it's radio doesn't mean we have to be afraid of dead air. Let me think. No, shut up. That doesn't help me think.
Okay.
As a professor, I can help you. I think the really good point you were making was our closeness to someone who's different. Does that matter? Does that proximity matter? Is your question related to that?
See, when I first heard about your story, you were wearing the hijab, and I thought, oh, what's the deal? I don't get why people are freaking out over that. You know, you're helping your kids be culturally sensitive, or you're proving some point or whatever. And then, you know, the Facebook post, okay, we have the same God, and not going to understand how Christians would, you know, their brains would explode on that one. But when you look at the bloodlines, when you look at the historical realities, this is the same God. And I'm not getting all kumbaya pluralistic on you here. I'm saying read the biblical account and you will see where the Muslim faith came from. It originally was the same God.
Yeah.
This is what you're saying.
Well, and often, you know, if you read accounts of many Muslims, I don't want to say all Muslims, those who have converted to Christianity, they don't change the object of their devotion. They assimilate Christology into their devotion. You know, they begin talking about Jesus, but God, Allah is the name for God in Arabic. Allah remains the object of their devotion and affection. Mm-hmm. You know, Arab Christians call God Allah. So I also know that, you know, I have friends who have been missionaries in North Africa, friends from college, and they practiced Ramadan during the season of Ramadan. They fast, and then they, you know, they celebrate Eid with their Muslim brothers and sisters. And I think that what's interesting is some of the people that, to the outside world, are probably the most kooky Christians, missionaries, people who like sell their possessions and go spread Jesus abroad. I don't think they're kooky, but you know what I mean, from the outside. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who are most vehement, the ones that I've heard the most from. Well, duh, obviously. Like, if we're going to reach Muslims for Jesus, we need to talk about God in the way that Muslims understand and the way that we share a common heritage.
Dr. Hawkins, so have you ever said to a Muslim, have you ever shared Jesus with a Muslim?
No, I haven't.
So then you're not an evangelical.
My hijab wearing was about solidarity. And the reason I thought your point about proximity was a really good one is because that's, you know, my best Muslim friends are friends from graduate school. And closest Muslim friends that I have right now, one serves on a board with me at the council. He's from the Council on American Islamic Relations. And so, again, the idea of proximity I do think is important, but I think the lesson that I hope people draw is you don't have to have a Muslim friend to actually acknowledge that Muslims are our brothers and sisters, and human solidarity dictates that we stand together, not apart, regardless of whether we know a Muslim or not. So whether I know, I'm black, but, you know, whether you have a black friend or not, human solidarity dictates you standing in solidarity with people of color.
I like you. I like, how can anybody not like you? You just seem so likable.
Thanks.
Seem like a nice person. Hey, listen, how did this, take us through how you found out you were in trouble. I want to know how that went down.
Well, it's an interesting and boring story.
Shorten it and spicing it up. Don't wreck a good story with facts. Throw in some lies.
Okay. Like most days, I woke up really early and I checked my email last at 6:30 a.m. and I went to get my students' donut holes at Dunkin' Donuts. Do you have that in Canada?
No, we have real donuts and we ship our holes down to you.
Oh, you. Whatever. And so I went to pick up my students' donuts for an 8 a.m. final. And by the time I was giving the final, it was presentation, and I see a text from my department chair. This is just good. And I only have out my phone because I'm taking photos of my students giving their presentations, as a good professor would. And I see a text from my department chair, and she says, "Are you going to the meeting with the provost?" And I was like, "What meeting with the provost?" And this is December 15th. And I had posted the Facebook solidarity post on December 10th. So I'm wearing my hijab at work, as I said I would. And I think, what meeting? And I figure I know what it's about, right? I hadn't heard anything from the provost or any administrator or any colleague protesting me wearing the hijab or questioning why I was doing it or calling me not a Christian, saying, "You're not a Christian, how could we do this?" And so I get out of the final at 10:10, and I'm informed by my office coordinator that, quote, "They're looking for you," and I know who they is, and they wanted a meeting in like 15 minutes. And so I start trying to get together like my thoughts, but the email didn't have any sense of what they wanted to talk about. It just said, "Required meeting. If you need to have someone cover your finals, do it." So I went to the meeting. My department chair came as well, and some other folks. And that's when I was charged with apostasy, and then at the end of the meeting, put on administrative leave.
So you know the first happened. Person I do. You know the first evangelical Christian to go through an apostate trial. Do you know who that was?
Mm-hmm. You mean Stephen was stoned?
No, maybe I shouldn't say the first. Sorry.
Yeah. Most recent.
Yeah. The most famous, I think, in our day and age. That's probably a better way to say it. Tony Campolo. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're in good company.
Great.
As long as you trim your ear hair. He's got a lot of ear hair.
And he spits when he talks.
He spits when he talks, too. So that was boring. Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of excitement in that.
Man.
Maybe Michael Bay can do a thing about it and explosions in the background.
Yes, that's good.
Spice it up a bit.
I wasn't warned about the meeting. I'll tell you one thing I said. I said I don't appreciate being ambushed.
Yes, well done. No, that's right. And isn't it interesting? I wonder if the real world works like this, or is it just that Christian companies seem to excel in conflict avoidance and ambushes? Because I know about this. That stuff, the way that went down, does not surprise me in the least. I have worked at countless Christian organizations, and that kind of stuff, that's protocol. That's got to be written in some code book somewhere. This is how you do it.
Bible.
Well,
talk secretly, meet secretly, and then ambush the person.
Well, the salacious part is two colleagues were actually called by the provost at home and given a chance to describe why they said what they said. One woman said the same thing on Wheaton College letterhead, like in a letter to the Islamic Center of Wheaton, you know, in the wake of Jerry Falwell Jr.'s, you know, love God, love neighbor comments about Christians getting guns and, like, hunting down the Muslims.
She wrote
a letter to the Islamic Center of Wheaton saying, we worship the same God, and she got a slap on the wrist and was asked, like, what did you mean? But I was just told, I must not be a Christian. So that's the difference. I've been treated differently than other people.
Can I ask a sensitive question? This is Tim here.
Tim, look at the website. What's the website say?
Drew Marshall Show.
Thank you.
With Tim the Tim. Was this woman white?
Oh, you're going to pull the race card?
No, I'm sorry.
How
but
can a white guy pull a race card? Why am I talking like Seinfeld?
I honestly think that black, female, two strikes against. I'm sorry. I work at a very multicultural school, and I deal with Muslim kids. I deal with a whole bunch of different women who are often placed in second tier levels, and I hate to say it, you know, but it's the truth. I think, you know, once you get Christians together, it becomes even worse.
Well, to answer your question, she was white, and the administration, you know, I can't answer whether there was some racial bias going on. All I can say is I was definitely treated differently than her.
You know what will prove this? And we've got to finish it. We've run over time because you're actually interesting and fun. What will prove all of this is are you a lesbian? Because that will help.
No.
If you just came out and said you're a lesbian, we could just wrap this up right now. You know what I mean?
Well, I have very good straight friends, gay friends. I'm not a lesbian. I'm bona fide heterosexual. So, sorry to burst your bubble.
You can't say bona fide heterosexual. That's funny. You are a funny person. I wish you lived up in Toronto. Dr. Larisha Hawkins, man, if I had a professor like you, I would have stayed in school. Seriously.
Well, when I come to Toronto, I'm going to, like, beat you guys door down, Batman and Robin.
Nice. You co-host our show with us when you come here, okay?
That would be fun.
You got
in
it.
In a hijab.
Yes, because she's on radio.
But, like, we'd know.
You're an idiot.
Well, we need to be respectful of the hijab.
Yes, you don't just, not a, just a,
I didn't
like
see,
a
I was gonna
Halloween outfit or something. Stuff.
Solidarity.
Well, hold on, is it bad that I showed up and I did my Halloween show dressed as a nun? Is that bad?
You have to ask the nun. I asked the Council on American Islamic Relations, so I would be respectful.
Good.
And wear it for a time, and so... but I think that, you know, just to end, it's been wonderful to have the outpouring of support from the Muslim community, but also from other communities as well. And I appreciate you guys having me on the show.
Dr. Laricia, LariciaHawkins.org. That's a website you want to go to. Thank you for your time, Dr. Hawkins.
Thanks. Peace and blessings.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Somebody's gonna hurt somebody.